spines. If you got good feet, here a little tip that I would like to relate. I said, man, fish pie.
Oh, yeah, we got a theme song.
How sure do, a darn good one, too.
How you doing, Leaf?
Oh, not too bad. How you doing, Depp?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been seeing a lot of folks standing around in the river here lately.
And howdy.
And the river's kind of gotten everybody's attention, too.
Yeah.
A lot more water's been coming down the last week.
I think it was last Saturday, it doubled up in size in like 24 hours, went from about 260 up to 6-something.
Yeah.
And right now we're sitting at about 450, I think, when I looked at it this morning.
Okay, good.
Which is right about average for this time of the year. I mean, 300 to 500 is where we should be.
You know, it seemed like we were kind of parched.
Yeah.
You know, the whole region was kind of parched. And then, like in that one weekend, I don't know, probably a foot of moisture up high. At the crust.
Probably a foot of snow.
Yeah, and everything started coming back downstream, and it was like, okay, this feels a little bit more like normal.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I noticed right before that system came in, I had, a client friend of mine from up by Bonner Lake there and his buddy with me, and holy cow, you couldn't keep him off. I mean, it was like they would just go to toss their gear in the water and just kind of get line out of the reel, and they would already be on.
Really?
And we had just this phenomenal day, but then it was followed by a couple of tougher days. And, you know, I think it's pretty typical in that you see some fish, getting ready to do some moving around. They smell that stuff coming, and the pressure probably is such that they, they feel like they want to eat. And they just gorged themselves. It was obvious before they probably did some running upstream. Once that water hit, I'm sure they used that extra food to try to move around with the rain. And, the same thing is going to make this next few weeks, you know, better fishing. It's always what you count on happening by this time of the month in November, because you kind of have had these fish that have been in the system kind of since the opener, and probably seen a lot of hooks, been released a few times, some of them, and are getting savvy, but then all of a sudden you get this good push of water, and that's when you're going to have fish squirting up out of the Pateras area and getting into the river.
Okay.
You know, because like we've talked about in the past, 70% of them usually stay below that. The marked ones that we can track stay below that array until March, so February, March. So we're always just kind of looking for those little shots of them coming up.
You know, I mean, a few weeks ago, you kind of used the nickname, you know, fish of 1,000 casts.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and you happened to catch a steelhead on your first cast on this last part of the season.
Yeah.
I ran into another guy who caught on the first cast.
Nice.
I thought, this is unusual.
Yeah, well, you know, beginning of the season's always pretty hot.
Yeah, but still, I mean, for me to run into two guys who've done the same.
Yeah.
And you had a, I can't remember who it was, but
somebody's
wife actually got both of them.
Yeah, she was out in like 20 minutes.
Before she got in the boat.
One hatchery, and then she got one of those quote-unquote rainbows, ad-clipped. Yeah. Like the 13, 14 incher that was really pretty. And then right after that, her second hatchery steelhead. And she didn't realize. She was like, what? I'm done? Sorry.
You're not going on this trip.
You didn't realize. You got to slow yourself down, girl. So it's, you know, I mean, it is kind of been back to steelheading as we know it, but then also surprised by those excellent days where everything comes together. So it is just one of those things where steelheading is more about the discipline to be out there, but really, if you really love it, you don't even have to be disciplined. You just enjoy being out there regardless. Well, I mean, I've seen some beautiful days out there lately.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it really is nice. I mean, we have had some beautiful days.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is, it also kind of shows you, and this is something, I don't know if people tell you this, but because you're out there sort of monitoring the day, and every day is a little different.
Yeah.
Every part of a day can be different than other parts of the day. I mean, fishing can really be exacting if you want to get into it that way.
And if you want to see those great days, you have to be there lot of days.
Exactly,
you know, you just can't. I mean, not to say you won't get lucky, and I think we've said this before, but steelheading is just definitely one of those things where you just got to put in the time and hope for those days where you're just super rewarded.
Yeah, fortunately, it's one of those things that gets you outdoors, which is always best.
Oh, man, and I'm looking forward to it, too, you know, getting out here for the next few days with some clients again and just, looking at what could be some good weather before another system and maybe some challenging fishing through systems, but I'm always ready to do it and just about getting, you know, your clothes dialed in to where you're kind of impermeable to the conditions.
Yeah, you got to be flexible right now. So, you know, I want to tell people how they can get hold of you. But before we do that, maybe some people who don't know, I mean, you work in the fisheries industry as well.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what have you been doing here as we're getting close, going into winter? What's happening with you and your job?
Well, you know, like we talk about sometimes, I work in reconditioning Kelt steelhead. And okay. So...
And Kelt is?
Kelt is a steelhead that's already spawned and is working on and getting back into shape to be able to do it again. Okay. And because of the dam systems that we have here, you know, fish, instead of being washed out in the spring after spawning and not having to use much energy when their fat reserves and energy reserves are at an all-time low, now they have to turn around and swim back down what is already, you know, a super long journey. And they were just never really genetically... you know, made to do that. And so it's really taxed our Kelt population here, which would already be like 1% of the overall population, to the point where we just don't really have any if we don't do this. And so, okay. I mean, you'll see them once in a while, but really our concern is to just try to give those steelhead a chance to pass on their genes a second time. And we work with all wild females and there again, as we work with females too, specifically because, the males, man, we've seen they can get around and spawn with like 10, 15 different females in multiple systems. I've picked some up Bridge Creek, and they were spawning with females up there, and then picked them up downstream in my Beaver Creek trap a couple weeks later, spawning with females up Beaver Creek.
Really?
So they don't need help.
Guys.
Yeah, they don't need any help passing it around. They've already done it plenty of times. So we're just looking to get not only the wild genes, but those females, another shot at it.
So what does that entail, reconditioning these kelts?
Well, you know, it just really, we trap them in the wild, or we air spawn them, live spawn them at the hatcheries with the personnel that work there. And then we just take them back, and it's more or less about TLC. I mean, we give them some drug treatments, and we give them some water treatments to keep parasites off of them. But, you know, we just pretty much just try to take care of them. And, you know, you got to kind of, it's a nuanced thing. It sounds simpler when I just talk about it like that. But throughout my years of working in fish culture, I've definitely learned how to just kind of read fish and see what they want and just kind of work with them and get them into some pretty prime condition, you know, I'm pleased to say.
And this time of year, you're letting them out?
Yeah.
And so what are they doing when you let them out? What's their life cycle like then?
Well, you know, we just got done yesterday putting the last of them out, which was our downstream group, which we had trapped at Rock Island Dam. Well, they trapped for us, and we received fish at Rock Island Dam that either came out of the Wenatchee or any stream system north of that. It could be the Okanagan. We've had some from Salmon Creek. And that way we can really work to help the kelp populations in any of those streams above Wenatchee. And so, you know, we work with the fish here in the Methow. And so you pretty much have all the major systems covered there. And what they're going to do, long story short, a lot of the time you just don't know. You know, steelhead are so varied in their behaviors, but just like when they're young, they might either choose to stay or to go. And it's kind of like that Clash song, man. It's just like, should I stay or should I go now? That's all they ever think about.
Well, that's interesting though, because it's not like they're, speaking of clockwork, it's not like they're clockwork. They don't all 100% do the same thing.
Right.
It builds a little variability into Mother Nature in case something happens and upstream, downstream, you know, they're...
Yeah.
It's there.
Exactly. It's kind of like an egg bank. I mean, those residual fish that didn't go anywhere, they'll still spawn with the anadromous steelhead as they come back. If they're all adults, you know, you could have a residualized red band or a steelhead that didn't go. Mm-hmm. And one that did go, pair up, and they could have offspring that's like 20% steelhead. Mm-hmm. I mean, 20% residualized, 80% steelhead. Usually going to probably be majority anadromous. But you just don't know. And that's just the first stage of their life. And then again, when they're adults and they've already spawned and they're kelt, they might just go and act like that again. They might just, if they're mature enough and ready to spawn more or less, they might just kind of hang out with this group that's coming in right now of steelhead from the ocean.
Okay.
And just overwinter with them and then spawn with them in the spring. And potentially they could do that up to 3 times that we know of. We still haven't retrapped one. But you know, I'd love to see one for a third go would be great. But then also if they're not mature enough, they might just shoot right back down the river, over Bonneville and out to the ocean to feed for another year and come back with next year's group of fish, which we did see a few do that. And we just last week, picked one up at Wells that was coming back up with that group. So, I mean, it's a tiny number of fish. Last year we only released, you know, 60 some odd fish, and we see almost every one of them accounted for out there. It's kind of interesting in that even though it's a tiny number of fish, you know, they not only around the basin, but even when they go out to sea, we're seeing them pop back up.
I think it's great. I love science of all kinds, but I think it must be really fun getting this data back. Yeah. And I know it's sophisticated stuff, and you're applying it to, you know, fish going in. But I mean, that's the funnest stuff, man.
And, you know, like we were saying there with steelhead, because of that variation in their tendencies, you just never know. And it's great to be able to use these tracking systems that we have. You know, for instance, one of the females that stayed in basin last year went down down the Methow and then went up the Columbia to Foster Creek at the base of Chief Joe Dam there. She went up that thing like two or three times and only for like, you know, 24 hours each time. She came back down and she went down to the Okanagan. She went up the Okanagan to Foster Creek. I mean, Tunk Creek. And she poked up over this array about four times and then she stayed above it for that 14, 15 day period that we know is them spawning. And so we know that she went up there and she spawned up Tunk Creek, even though she was released in the Methow. So you just never know what they'll do.
No, but it's good to know some of the array of things, the options that they do. I mean, especially when we're reconditioning certain areas. I know
all these re-enhancement projects.
It seems like some of these things have not been even had water in them, or they haven't been accessible for years. You open them up, and like you said, somebody's going to stick their nose up there and check it out.
There's places like that they couldn't have even utilized if they hadn't have been worked with. And now, these fish are, you know, being able to, you know, fulfill their potential. And and these projects are working really good, not only from the kelp program, but to the habitat.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, it's all links in a chain. And that's what's going to make a healthy system here.
Yeah, there you go. Well, let's get back.
Sure.
I know that you don't have too many vacancies in your schedule, at least for the next month. I mean, is there you got a couple spaces? But I mean, more than that, I want people to know that they can get information from you.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can book fishing trips with you.
Yeah. You know, I still have just a couple left in November, but you can always feel free to shoot me an email or shoot me a text. Or just give me a call, and I'd be happy to get you pointed in the right direction. You can get a hold of me at 509-429-7298 or at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com. And you can check out the blog, the podcast, and everything else at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. We keep it up to date there. And, you know, just make sure you dress warm enough right now, because it is absolutely getting into late fall, winter, and it's steelhead season. When it's crappy, you know it's time to go steelheading and get that fish on.
Fall down to my paper fishing hole. What you think that brother mine did do? Caught some pounds perch on the bottom, creamy got an eye. Took him on the mama, say he's real gone. Come on, his pole and his line. He was going fishing and my mama's going fishing and the baby going fishing too.